Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 60 of From Long Distance to Marriage. This week we wanted to talk about common interests for couples. And I think that this is something you see a lot, especially with maybe older couples. You might see it with your parents, where eventually it gets to the point that it seems like eventually you just don't like any of the same things anymore. And also, it doesn't always take that long to get there, does it? Mm-hmm. I think in the beginning, you might have some common interests, but a lot of it's kind of chemistry and sexual attraction, things like that. But really, common interests should be pretty important to you as a person, or in your coupledom, if that's what you want to call it. But really, we just wanted to go through some kind of tips for how to maybe be a bit more understanding of your partner's interests, how you can speak to them about maybe being more interested in some of yours, and things you can do together as a couple.
I think also as important is what you also see more so at the beginning of a relationship are people giving up their interests and hobbies, because, like you said, there's all that sort of sexual energy and excitement about the relationship. And it's, oh, you know, I'll stop seeing my friends. I'll stop doing this. I want to spend all my time with you. And that can be a risky area too. It's as important as it is to have bonding time and couples pursuits, you also still need to remain your own person, as we've spoken about many times before.
Yeah.
I think we have a whole episode on sort of continuing to be your own person.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know, we've got 60 episodes now.
Yeah. But yeah, so don't feel like everything has to be a couple thing, that your partner has to like everything you do, has to like all your friends. You know, it's really important that you continue to be your own person. And I think what's really unfortunate and perhaps dangerous territory is, you know, relationships do break down. And if you've put every single part of you into that relationship, so you've got no friends of your own anymore and you've got no interests of your own anymore, then if you do find yourself single again, you can feel incredibly alone.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's something that a lot of people, especially relationships that go on for a long time, you can feel like you've lost your identity, and the things that gave you joy and pleasure in life, you're suddenly without, kind of. But I think it's important, you know, what you said a second ago, you don't, as a couple, you don't have to share all the same common interests, and I don't think most people expect that. But, you know, for certain people who maybe are really, really passionate about something, you know, maybe they're an athlete or an artist, or, you know, some of these interests that can really become, you know, a huge part of your life, not just like, oh, I like going to the movies or I like reading, like we all have those sorts of hobbies, but the ones that can really take up our life, I think if you get with someone, you know, and early on you can see if they haven't got time or patience for it, especially if it's something that takes up a big part of your time, like an athlete who needs to train and practice a lot to potentially compete, or like again, an artist who spends a lot of time creating whatever it is they create, whether that's music or visual arts or dancing or whatever. But I think you'll know pretty soon if someone's not gonna respect that. And I think you don't need to expect someone to maybe be an artist like you or be an athlete like you, but they should respect that part is something of yours that's important to you.
I think guard that, like, with zero tolerance.
It's a huge part of who you are.
If you get someone who comes along and belittles it, or tries to take you away from it or makes fun of it or whatever, then
or gets jealous of it.
Yeah.
The time.
I think you need to guard it quite fiercely. Otherwise, the red flag for that is probably not, it's probably not the pursuit itself. It's probably more that they want control of you in general. I mean, you
maybe
know, it's exceptions to that, or if you do something particularly dangerous, then it's probably reasonable that you'll hear from the person who loves you that they're kind of worried about it. But I think for most things, especially when it comes to general hobbies and interests, yeah, I think it can be controlled. I think if they're trying to stop you doing something very benign that you've done for years, it's a big part of who you are. You know, it's sad, but it's true that there's a lot of people out there who, you know, get with people and try and change them and mould them into who they want to be, and they want to exert control over them. I think it's very easy to fall to that in the beginning, because your guard's down. You know, you're just sort of besotted with this person and you want to make them happy. And if they suggest something, then you think, oh, yeah, of course I'll do that for you. You know, you hear about it all the time. And I think men are particularly prone to be weak, at, like, giving up their friends and not seeing people. And then, you know, it can all backfire because, you know, really and truly, I think most of the time you do want someone who accepts you for you and what you do, and sort of grow together.
And not just accepts you, but encourages you to do the things that make you happy, whether or not that's necessarily part of their life as well. You know, it's really good to have, you know, you've touched on this a bit already, babe, but like, I think it's good to have your own things and your own interests that maybe your partner isn't a part of, because you have your own friends through that. And sometimes it's nice to have something completely separate from your partner. And I've talked about that, you know, like living here, so much is just, or so, sorry, so little is just mine here, because, you know, most of our life is centered around either friends that you've had for a long time, or, you know, your family, because all my friends and family are back home. I have new friends here, obviously. But, you know, when I start a new hobby or meet a new circle of friends, I love having that. That's just mine and it's separate, and that's okay. Not everything has to be joint between the two of you. But, you know, like, for example, you know, Rich plays guitar. He's played guitar since he was a little kid. He's very talented. I love music. I have absolutely no musical talent or ability, but it's something that I always support. You know, when he's playing with his band or when he's practicing, you know, that's great. Do that. Have that time. And I don't necessarily understand the commitment that it takes sometimes, but that doesn't affect how I support you with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just kind of a good example. And
then also, just to feel like, and again, this is something we've mentioned before, but it bears repeating, that you want to still be an interesting person. And that means being interested in things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you spend 100% of your time together and everything you do is together and you've got no interest outside of what you do together, then I don't really understand what's keeping you together. That you're just kind of one big person. and then, you know, and it, I think it's a lot easier, I imagine, in that scenario to get wandering eyes, because everyone else, they could be the most boring person in the world, but they're bringing something new to the table just by virtue of they're outside of your bubble. You know, so if neither of you is bringing anything new to that,
it's a bit harsh.
I think it's true, though. You know,
maybe,
like, what conversations are you having if you've got no pursuits? It's like, oh, I read this interesting thing the other day. I'm reading this great book you'd enjoy. Let's watch that new show. Like, or I'm just out for an hour and you can miss me for an hour. Like, if there's nothing, you're just always together. Like, what's to keep you interested in each other? That's not what you fell in love for. You know,
no.
You hear all the time about, you know, oh, this mysterious stranger, you know, came into my life with someone. Yeah, you have office romances because I'm uninterested in joined the workplace, or you just kind of start to get infatuated with someone else. I think it's important that you stay interesting. And I
think
a big part of the way you stay interesting is to just continue to have a curious mind.
Yeah, and I think that it's important that people don't kind of misconstrue what you're saying, because it kind of could sound like you're saying you should only do that, or not that you should only do that, but you should do that so you remain interesting to other people. But you should also do it just so that you have your own interests and that you enjoy things and, you know, get time to yourself and
stuff.
Yeah,
well, that comes back to what we said earlier on, that you need to continue to be your own person. And what I'm really saying more broadly is, don't give up your identity just because you're in a relationship now. Like, a lot of people kind of give up. Like, I can stop working out, I can stop taking care of myself now, I can stop doing this and that because I'm married now. Like, that's locked down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that's just, I think that's an awful way to approach it. So you need to stay your own person, which includes being interested in stuff.
Yeah.
And all I'm really saying is, if you stop doing that and you just become a slob that brings nothing to the table, and then how do you expect to keep someone interested in you? Well, it may be harsh, but it's true.
Yeah, I think there's probably certain circumstances where, you know, maybe mental health comes into play and people struggle to get themselves to do things.
Yeah,
obviously they need to get support and things like that.
I'm talking about the edges.
No, I know, but I think it's important to address those
things. Yeah, that's true. But then I'm talking more about just paying attention to the potential traps you might fall into, one of them being giving up everything that kind of makes you you because you're so infatuated with this new person.
So I love Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, the new series on Netflix, and recently they've been in Japan helping people in that country that kind of need little soul makeover, not little, it's kind of huge soul makeovers. Anyways.
A soul makeover?
Yeah, because people think that Queer Eye, like the old Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, was like kind of a...
Making metrosexuals?
No, it was like kind of a shallow makeover. It was all about the clothes and the appearance and stuff, but the new series of Queer Eye is completely different people, and it's more about, like, I don't know, self-love, and it's a makeover for the soul, not just for the face. They, you know, they talk about, you know, their happiness and self-image. It's more than just like, oh, your clothes are shit. Like, anyways, it's great. Watch it. So there's this, in Japanese culture, there's this word basically, and I don't know what it is. I don't speak Japanese, but it was really interesting in that there is a word in their culture for when a woman gives up on being a woman and kind of loses touch with her femininity and everything. So I just found it really interesting. And I think that can go, that can apply to all people, not just about losing their masculinity or femininity, but losing their identity with themselves and how, you know, you are who you are, and that's probably amazing and interesting. And, you know, we've talked about a lot in previous episodes that your partner was attracted to you for some reason in the beginning. And, you know, part of that's probably the things that you're interested in, what made you different and unique. So it's important not to lose touch with that, really.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for couples who maybe struggle after a little while or just don't have anything in common in terms of interest after a little while, what would you kind of say to kind of find something to enjoy to do together or find that time to make things special?
If they don't enjoy things together?
Yeah, like if they don't have any common interests, like do you think that that means that they need to find something together? You can carry on without those common interests?
I don't know, because, you know, you have those relationships where some people just don't have much time together. If you've got conflicting shift work, obviously we have a long distance aspect to our listeners as well. So, you know, there can be times where it's just almost impossible to have shared interests like that. But I think it's important at the very least to find something in common, so you can at least go and see a film together and both enjoy it. You know, if everything's kind of a battle of taste, then that's going to be quite difficult. But you have to be prepared to compromise as well. You know, there's a lot of things that we each want to watch, the other one doesn't watch, so we kind of watch them when the other one's not around. You know, there's a lot of things like that. But then we kind of focus on what we could both do enjoy and compromise on it. So, I don't know, I feel like, especially like you said earlier on, I think people are so focused on making an effort to maybe not impress each other, but you want to spend all your time together, so I feel like there's no shortage of things you're prepared to do together. I kind of feel like the bigger issue is when you give up your own thing.
Yeah. But do you think that it's vital for people to have the same interests necessarily to be a strong couple?
I think there needs to be an overlap somewhere.
Yeah.
But I don't think everything needs to be a shared interest. I think if you've got nothing at all in common, I don't know. How's that going to work 30 years down the line? It's going to work initially because you've got all that sexual energy and all that excitement and the emotions attached to it. But you know that will sort of slow down over time. Mm. And yeah, after 30 years, if you've got nothing else as a shared identity, then I don't know what. Either one of you is always going to be just doing something that you don't enjoy for the sake of spending time together, which isn't really fair. Or you're going to spend all your time apart. I don't know what that would be built on if they've got nothing.
Well, like you said, probably like that early sex and attraction.
Yeah, and that'll work for the first year or so. I kind of feel like maybe you get these couples that are very on again, off again, and or you can't break up even though they know they're not good for each other. Like, I feel like they're kind of more likely to fit into this category because there's something that you, that there's something about each other that you can't let go of, but also not anything necessarily strong enough to really build on and
hold you together.
Yeah, yeah. And that may, you know, sometimes that's just they're really good in bed and I can't let it go. Maybe sometimes it's, you know, we have like, we argue and I like, sometimes people like that, that you keep them on a short leash, so to speak, you know.
Or on their toes.
On their toes, or just, you know, someone who, if you've got two strong personalities, that can bring its own sort of drama and excitement that if you're used to being the one always getting your own way and in control, you know, you hear quite a lot about people who think like, oh, that's kind of exciting. That
there's almost like an unattainability in that, that
yeah, keeps you chasing. But then that's that just feels like a short-term thing. Yeah. You're not going to have a 30, 40, 50-year marriage built on both of you being hot-headed and it being exciting that you don't always win.
Yeah.
So you need to find something.
But I think there's, you know, there's certain things that all humans, for the most part, I think, need and enjoy. And you can make those things, you know, the things that you do in your time together. So if that's, you know, food, you can take a cooking class together. Well, everyone needs to be able to prepare themselves food. You could go on, you know, to food festivals. Everyone likes some form of music. But, you know, like, some people may not like the same types, but...
Well, you get a lot of people now in the long-distance space who meet through gaming. Or social media of various kinds, you know, people might meet on Reddit because everything's so, nowadays everything is so granularly organized. Mm. You can find a group or a forum or just a general network of people for the most sort of niche topics.
Yeah.
You know, whereas sort of in days gone by, you'd just be a huge group of people in a room and then you'd kind of find out who is most closely aligned to you. But now you can join a Facebook group, you can join a Reddit group, you can join a forum, you can join a Patreon membership, you know, you could, there's any podcasts, you know, you, if you've got a way of connecting with the audience of a podcast or searching through who follows a shared interest, you know, there's just a way now of finding people immediately who like at least one thing that you like. And if that, if you're searching for let's say a game, you know, then if gaming is the most important part of your identity, nowadays it's pretty easy to find someone else where gaming is the most important part of their identity.
What if you don't meet someone in that way though? You know, what if you are a huge gamer or a huge, you know, like cheesy horror movie genre buff, like whatever it is, something that's quite niche. And you meet someone in a normal way and they're not into that.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of fit into that because we both like horror and we like a lot of film, but I'm much more open to, like, bad horror than you. Like, especially sort of like the 70s, 80s, really sort of B-movie grade, cheesy horror and kind of over-the-top gory horror. Like, you're not really into that. So there's a lot that I don't... I mean, it's not something I would want to watch all the time anyway, so I feel like I'm missing out, but it's something like if it's on, I'll find it much more enjoyable to watch than you would.
Yeah,
but you know, there's the middle ground of where we both like this kind of horror, so that's always going to be the way that you're going to have things that you do and don't like together. But I think now more than any time in the past, it's much easier to build a relationship on a shared interest. But then that comes with its own danger, because if you're both into that same thing all the time, I can imagine it just being like, you can sort of bring each other down to not want to do anything else because you both want to do this thing, which is great on a lazy Saturday or something, you know, like let's just spend all day in bed gaming. But you know, we've had it in the past where one of us might want to spend all day doing this and the other one doesn't, so you'll tolerate it for a little bit. It's like, well, look, we can do that for the morning, but then we have to do this.
Yeah.
I have to go. You can sit here and finish binging this show, but I have to go and do this. You know, either one of us may take the lead on that, but the consequence is we're not just sort of wasting away. You know, I think, so at some point, I think it's good where you've got the overlap in the interest, but also one of you... both of you generally, but in any given time one of you can say we need to stop this for the time being.
Yeah, but I just think
there's a higher likelihood of both of you just getting really sucked in and huge amounts of time disappearing if you're both happy to do the same thing most of the time.
I think for couples that maybe one of you has a really strong interest in something, it can be upsetting if that person doesn't enjoy it, because when you love someone, you want to share those things that are really important to you with them. So it can be upsetting when they just don't care, even if they don't have a problem with you doing it. It's like, look, I just don't like it. Like, do it, enjoy it. I just don't want to be part of that. So I think you need to be reasonable and understand that there's going to be certain parts of your life that you won't get to share with your partner. But as long as they respect it and give you the space and time to do it yourself, you know, that's good. Yeah. But you should have some common things that you enjoy doing together. And I think you touched on that. You were saying it's never been easier to find people with common interests. It's also never been easier to find the opportunity to, for things that you can try that are new.
Yeah.
So whether that's events, courses, you know,
go to a festivals, class together, language together. But I think as well, both of you should make the effort. If it's something that you've never, if one of you's into something, let's say one of you's into something and you've either never had an interest in it or it doesn't appeal to you, or you have tried it, tried watching it, you think, actually, I'm not really into it. Like, it's still important to make the effort.
At least try it.
Like, not you haven't got to watch it every day or do it every day. But, you know, you need to, like you said, you know, if something's important to you, it means a lot that the other person can also enjoy it, or at least attempt to.
Mm-hmm.
And that should work both ways. So you, if you would like your partner to share an interest that you have, you know, you've also got the responsibility to make an effort with what's important to them.
Yeah, and there are some hobbies that you can enjoy together but separately. So say, for instance, you're really into knitting or you love sewing. That's a hobby that you can do while there's other things going on around you. So if they're hugely into, I don't know, mixing music and doing remixes, if they're sitting there on their headphones and you're in the same room doing your knitting, like, you are together and you're creating and you're enjoying the things that you do separately but together. Or, you know, if they're binging a series that you're not really interested to, maybe it's a genre that you don't like, but you're sitting there with your sewing or drawing or whatever it is, like, it's still nice to be doing the things you like together but separate.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it comes down to being flexible, like you just pointed out. Like, I'll give it a try. Like, don't knock something you've never tried. Of course, if it's something like, if they're an elite athlete, you know, you, and you're just not, like, you can't really do that with them, but you could go and support them at their events or...
Well, the same thing with gaming, you know, it's possible that one of you is really, really into, you know, one genre, maybe you're really into, like, violent video games,
mm-hmm.
and your partner's into gaming, but not that.
Like RPGs or something, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so maybe, the obviously, the compromise is, yeah, occasionally I'll play that game with you, but we'll find a game that we play together. And we like doing that. Every now and then we'll just buy a bit of game and that we will play together. We both enjoy it independently, but...
You enjoy quite, like, shoot-em-up games like Doom, and you don't really play the world Modern Warfare.
I don't really play many games now.
Not really.
But, you know, then we like to play sort of racing games together and just sort of fun, lighthearted
puzzle stuff, games, really, yeah. Whereas I like more, like... you know, Elder Scrolls kind of stuff like that. You're not really into that, but you don't mind if I'm playing it and you're doing something else.
No, but the point is, you know, just, you can look at things in more than one way. So you can, your identity is either, I'm a gamer, which includes a whole range of games, obviously, and titles, or you can say, I'm a shoot-em-up gamer. You know, so, but the more focused you get, the more exclusions there's going to be. So, you can kind of just roll back a little bit and say, yeah, I appreciate you don't want to play that game with me, but it also means a lot to me that you want to play a game with me, so how about we do this one, or you choose one. And, you know, you can apply that logic to most things. Like, you're a massive film buff, but you only really like 70s French dramas. Like, you can't expect everyone to like that, but it still means a lot to you. They'll say, well, how about we watch this together? Like, both of you appreciate effort when it's being made. I think sometimes... I know I'm guilty of this. Like, it's sometimes easy to overlook the effort the other person is making at something just because it's not exactly what you had in mind. Do you know what I mean? So they might say, well, I want to sit down and watch a film with you, but it's not a 70s French drama. It's this. You know, you can have, like, a spoilt mind. It's like, no, it has to be this. Otherwise, you're not making the effort. And you're missing that they are making an effort and they're making a suggestion.
And be open-minded. Like, we had this last night. Like...
It was last night. Oh, right, yeah.
So we I mean, I like action movies. I think I'm a pretty good
wife. Yeah, you're pretty good, yeah.
I'm quite good with that. But there are some that I just don't enjoy. And I think I don't know if there's ever been an action movie you saw that you didn't like. But that's okay, you know. And so, Die Hard, the original one, is one that I just can't really get behind. It's fine. I've watched it before. Alan Rickman's the best part of it. But we do debate whether between it's a Christmas movie, an action movie, or just
Bruce Willis. We also debate if it's a good movie.
Yeah, I just don't know what I think. But I do think that it's just Bruce Willis spending 2 hours in an air vent. And so last night, Rich said, do you want to watch Die Hard 3? And I was like, yeah, like, whatever, I'll give it a try. We were both in pretty good mood. We had a really nice day together, so I was feeling pretty easygoing about it. And I actually really, really enjoyed it. I don't know why anyone talks about the first one. This one's far more superior. And that might be because Samuel L. Jackson's in it. And that bit right before they go off the bridge, just cracked me up.
It's a good film. But yeah, but you're right. The point is, like, other people said, no, I watched the first one, I don't watch... Especially because sequels don't tend to have the reputation of being better than the first one. And obviously the first Die Hard is really highly regarded. So a lot of people said, no, if I don't like the first one, I'm not wasting my time with the rest. And you're right, like that. You know, you were open to that and you enjoyed it, and I liked that you were watching it with me.
And we had a good time. And so the moral of the story is, you might not like the first 1970s French drama they show you, but maybe there is one that you enjoy. And I think when someone loves something and there's the odd occasion when you can enjoy that with them, it means a lot to both of you.
Mm.
So it shows, like you said, that you've got to appreciate that they're, you know, giving it a chance, giving it a try, being open to what you like. And then sometimes you'll strike gold and you'll find something that you both really enjoy together. But it's a tricky one to navigate because we are all so individual and, you know, you don't want to lose who you are, but you want to find things to share together. So it is, you know, a tricky thing to navigate, but it's just something you have to keep working on as a couple.
Well, you made the point a whole bunch of times that relationships are, you know, kind of like a business in a way. And we've also mentioned that in the past we've had kind of meetings where we'd sit down mainly about money, but there's nothing wrong at all with just having some designated time to talk and bring it up at date night. Just when you pick your moment when you're both in a good mood and you're both feeling pretty receptive and open to hearing things. Right after sex. And don't make it a bitch fest or anything, but maybe you can just say, hey, I'd really like if we can talk about our expectations for common interests and how much time we spend together and stuff. And
if there's certain things you want to try,
so yeah, I don't mean make it a rota, but maybe you could just say, look, I know you're really into this and it's not something I particularly enjoyed, so how about over the next month, you know, I'm happy to try like two or three occasions, why don't you pick two or three things? Do you know what I mean? Be reasonable about it, but just however you feel appropriate, just sort of touch base and say, you know, this is important to me, this is important to you. My expectations are that I don't want to spend all our time together, but I don't want you to feel left out. Like, and you can just try and find what works for you, what you both think is appropriate and reasonable. And
yeah, and be a good judge of that. Like, I'm really into, like, history, and so sometimes I want to go to castles and old stately homes, and I could read every plaque in there, and that's not really your thing, and you're happy to go with me, but you're ready to leave a lot sooner than I am. And so sometimes I'd prefer to go on my own because I know that I can really take my time and enjoy myself. Other times we find things like yesterday we went to, there's a Tutankhamun exhibit in London at the moment. And, you know, I've been obsessed with that kind of thing since I was a little kid. You find it interesting. You didn't know a lot about it, but you appreciate the fact that, wow, this shit's really old. And, you know, we had a good time and, you know, you found it interesting, the things that I knew about it and was sharing with you. And it was a really good day, so it wasn't something that you would have sought out.
That's the other thing as well with like the benefit of a relationship is if you're open to it, there's all sorts of things that you can learn about or be exposed to that you wouldn't have otherwise.
Mm.
And that's, you know, if you're remotely curious about things, I think that's a really beneficial thing.
Absolutely. So I hope that helps. I think it's just being open-minded with each other, being understanding and patient of the hobbies that you do have independently, making sure you do have some common ground, and understanding that some things are going to be your own thing, and that's okay. You know, we have friends who maybe spend less time together than we do, and some who maybe spend more. You know, there's all different types of couples, so it's all about just finding what's going to work for each of you. But at the end of the day, you need to be happy as your individual person because that'll make your relationship better. And common interests are a huge part of that, whether it's something it's you do on your own or you do together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Should we wrap it up then?
I think so. No admin?
No admin. Well, follow us on Instagram because we're going to be asking some questions soon to help shape an upcoming episode. So
we have some exciting upcoming episodes.
We've got some really exciting upcoming episodes.
I'm really excited.
So we're at Mr. Mrs. Distance. Not Mr. and Mrs. Distance, just Mr. Mrs. Distance. Or if you search on Instagram for Long Distance to Marriage, we should come up. And if you really can't find us, visit longdistancetomarriage.com and there's a link through to our social media channels there. But you can help us get some questions and topics for, yeah, some really exciting in-depth episodes coming up.
Have a great week, guys. Bye.